Thank you. I do that often. Thank you. So as we're giving out a map here, so I was reminded of a time when I was learning in yeshiva, and I was learning with a guy from the Mir, and we were learning Maseches Chagiga. That was my first siyum I ever made. So I was very bothered. Somehow it came up in conversation that he had no idea any of the states. He was American. He grew up in America. But he was unaware of the whole geography of the United States of America, and I was very much bothered by that. But he's probably more bothered that I didn't know what Maseches Chagiga was either. So I think it's probably important to just give out a map here. I hope everyone knows somewhat where Ukraine is. You don't see the overall map of... No, people don't?
It's there.
You didn't play Risk?
No.
Okay. So it's in the end of the eastern part of Europe, close to Asia. But I have a map here of different cities that are going to come to life as we go through these next weeks, months. If you could give them out. You'll see a bunch of names here. I'll take one myself. You'll see like Meserich and Polonia and Mezhbiz and Lublin and Zhytomyr and Berdichev. So as we go through, I would say hold on to this just to get an idea of where these cities are and how they come to life. That's one thing to give out. Secondly, I'll give you guys a little homework on your own. So there's a guy, Kobe Fleischman, who listened to the shiur last week. He's a big chassid of Weinberger. He recommended I get this little sheet called Luach HaChassidus. And I was find out where it was from, and I called up the number here. And she says that Z. Berman sells them. So I went to Z. Berman and I got one. They only had a couple of them left. I imagine they could get more. So it's a beautiful Luach HaChassidus. There's two sides here. And it starts, of course, with the Baal Shem Tov here, which we're learning in the next few weeks. And it goes down to all his Talmidim and his family. And then here the Magli Mezrich and his Talmidim and so on and so forth. And the other side goes to all the dynasties. It goes to, there's Vizhnitz here and there's Satmar. And there's Lubavitch and Brezhnev, everyone, how everyone breaks down in a whole family tree of Chassidus. So it's very kedai to get. Now, we don't need it tonight just yet, but as we go through the course of this time, we'll see how this really all comes to life. So this is what you guys could get on your own. Again, they didn't have enough to buy for everyone here. So now that being the case, let's begin. I have a number of other handouts I want to give, but we're going to begin the Baal Shem Tov tonight. And Baal Shem Tov, of course, is the one who started all Chassidus. We discussed last week how he took the Zohar and the Arizal and brought it down to earth for all of us and all of the Jews to understand and appreciate the pnimius of the Torah and to connect on a very different level than Yiddishkeit had been connected in the past. So it's important to understand the Baal Shem Tov and his life and how this came about, because he himself had a difficult time bringing all of these things to life. He had a lot of challenges throughout life. And there was a lot of negativity against him and opposition, and he fought through it. And there still is a lot of opposition with regards to these things. So just the other night, I was having a conversation with someone, and he was telling me that the Zohar was only really found in the 12th, 13th century. It doesn't exist beforehand. The Rashbi didn't write it. And blah, 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 that kind of stuff, where they still don't believe of that. The academics never found manuscripts before that, so it doesn't exist. So I said, I don't care for academics. Just because there's no proof of it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I said, Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishnayos, wasn't written until the 3rd century. So there was no manuscripts before them. Does that mean there was no connection of Torah Shebaal Peh from Har Sinai? No, the Zohar and other things were learned in a very secret way, and the Torah Shebaal Peh as well, and it was continued to pass on. So now the Baal Shem Tov took all the secrets of the Zohar and the Arizal and bring them down to earth. So he had a great challenge in bringing it out. Whenever there's something good happening in the world, there's a lot of challenge. So we're going to go through a number of stories tonight about his challenges. And just as a basic background of his upbringing, he was born in a small area. He was born in 1698. He's 1698 and he died in 1760. That was the period where he lived in. His yard site is Shavuos, Vav Sivan, is his yard site to celebrate. Vav Sivan. Yeah, 1760.
It was 62.
Yeah. 1698 to 1760. So he was born in a small village called Okapa. Again, I apologize if I pronounce them the wrong way. I don't know this language, but Okapa, I think, is how it's pronounced, something like that. Maybe Alex could correct me. He knows that language probably a little bit better than I do. It's out on your map. O-K-U-P is how I found it spelled. Okup sound right?
Okup.
Okup, okay. Okup, okay, great, okay. Okay.
Fine. Okay.
There's no E at the end, so I don't know. So he was born his name is Yisrael, and he's called Baal Shem Tov later on in life, to a father Eliezer, Yisrael ben Eliezer. And supposedly, a lot of the history about him is found in a sefer called the Shivchei HaBaal Shem Tov. Shivchei Baal Shem Tov, anyone wants to get this, is a beautiful sefer. All the stories we're going to go through tonight is from the sefer. It talks all about his life and here. And he was born to his parents were very, very old. They never had children, which happened with many tzaddikim, that their parents weren't zochet the children until much later on in life. And supposedly his mother was almost like Avram and Sarah, like 90 and 100. His mother and father was 100 when they had a child. And the explanation was that to have such a tzaddik to be brought into this world of the neshama like the Baal Shem Tov, it had to have come from parents who no longer had a taiva anymore. They no longer were too old to have a taiva. And the only way such an old couple could have children was through Siyata D'Shemaya, through Kadosh Baruch Hu's help. And that's the way the Baal Shem Tov came into this world. And because he was so, his parents were so old when he was born, so he became an orphan at a very young age. At the age of 5, he was already a Yasam. He lost both his parents. So the last thing his father supposedly had said to the Baal Shem Tov at his very young age, at the age of 5, was, "Don't fear anyone except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu." And that was a principle that he lived by, and he oftentimes encountered opposition, and he always reminded himself, "Don't fear anyone, any force in this world, except for Hashem." And that kept him strong, and that was pretty much his theme his whole life. So you have to also understand the context in which he was, the historical context that he grew up in. It was right after Shabtai Tzvi and all that conversations of the fake Messiah. And without getting too involved in that, pretty much Shabtai Tzvi lived from 1626 to 1676, or 20 years before the Baal Shem Tov was born. And the story of the Shabtai Tzvi, he claimed he was Mashiach, he learned Kabbalah, and he had a whole following. And in the end of the day, everyone knew, obviously, he wasn't Mashiach, because he was told by the Sultan of Turkey to make a decision. Either you're going to become a Muslim, convert, or we're going to kill you. And you would imagine someone who's of that stature, Mashiach, would get killed. And he decided to convert to Islam. And everyone, all his followers, obviously realized he was not a true Mashiach. And then it became a terrible thing in Yiddishkeit. And they said one shouldn't learn the Zohar because it's a dangerous text to learn. That look what happens when you learn the Zohar. It created a whole way of enlightenment that you should only learn things that make sense, that are logical, that are rational. Things that we don't understand, like the Zohar, we should stay far, far away. And that's what happens to the Ashkenazi world. Svardim didn't experience this, so Svardim kept on learning. It's very much part of the Mesorah of the Svardim. You know, the Sidurim already, when they're younger, you start seeing all the different spheres and Shemus Hashem in their Sidurim. They continued that Mesorah, but Ashkenazim lost the Mesorah of learning the Pnimius of the Zohar because of Shabtai Tzvi. So that was the background in which he was born and grew up in, which meant without that level, that spirituality, that Ruchnis that's brought about the hidden area of Torah, it really sucked out any energy that existed in Yiddishkeit. It was just a very rigid book of rules, what to do and what not to do. And you can imagine how they were really crumbling without any life to them. So that was the context within which the Baal Shem Tov was born. So Baal Shem Tov was an orphan at the age of 5, I told you. And around his village, they were trying to, keep him, trying to protect him and find him a parnasa and find him a job as he get older and older. And he just wasn't very much tzliach in what he did. And he was always running out to the forest. No one knew what he was doing. He was always escaping his job and just looking to be in the forest by himself, like someone very, very strange. And a number of the jobs he had, he was he took the kids to school. He was like a bus driver. That was one of the jobs he had. And supposedly he would sing songs to the kids that as he walked them down to school back and forth. He did that for a little bit. And then from that point afterwards, he wasn't doing a good job of that, so they moved him to start taking care and to be a custodian in the shul. And then when he was in the shul, he started to see there's some svarim. And he used to spend nights in the shul he was watching over, and he started to look into the Zohar a little, and the svarim like that. And then wondrous things started to happen to Baal Shem Tov as he learned more and more. So, yes.
It would have been interesting that printed copy of the Zohar was sitting just around in the shul.
It would be. So I don't know exactly where it was. Mm-hmm. They didn't, yes, I don't know. He was lucky. He was zochet to be in a shul that had one lying around. So now with that background, that was his first stage of his life, where he was just trying to be, you know, brought up and protected by the village and trying to give him jobs. And then he came across the Zohar and started to see some things that he was never taught in his past. And I'm not sure how old he was. He was, I don't remember the age. I don't know if they even know exactly what point that is. But then as he started to learn more and more and became a big Talmud Chacham, learning not only Nistar but also Nigla, as we'll see, he began to hide very much his capabilities, his kochos. And so this is the second stage of his life, which we're going to read some stories as he was hiding very much his great kochos that he had, which we're going to spend tonight on. And next week in Mirkat Hashem, we're going to discuss how he really came out and exposed himself, who he was. So we're going to go through three stories tonight. I made copies here. This is straight from the Shivchei HaBaal Shem Tov. The first story is one about how he found the Shidduch, which is a fascinating story. Moshe, I apologize. I didn't use double sides for the first one here, but the other ones I did, I know. So I have a few sheets to get out here, so just bear with me as we pass them around. There we go.
Did the rabbi that he grew up with ever look at him and realize his greatness?
The rabbi that he grew up in?
Right.
No, they did not. Not to my knowledge. He was very much hidden. I got a couple here. I'm sorry, guys. Now, this printer doesn't collate them for us. We have to...
Yeah,
it does. Doesn't? Oh, yeah? I guess I need to... If they teach me how to do it.
To figure it out. So you got a few more.
Yeah, we have one more of this.
Well,
there were points in time where he lived in the forest and like dug holes and did some interesting things. While he was in that village, I don't know where he was actually living. I didn't see it addressed. But he certainly did interesting things. Have we seen him around? We would have thought he's a strange person. There should be three pages. Everyone got three pages? Okay. Thank you for being on top of that.
Is it still recording?
Still recording, yeah. It's fine. It's informal. Okay, let's begin on Simon Ches here. Simon Ches describes this Shidduch of Nisuav Shel Baal Shem Tov, his Shidduch, how he found the Shidduch, which is an amazing story. So it's following from a previous story, which we're not going to get into. Acharei Zelokach Lo Derech Acharei. So he decided to take another path. V'yelech Misham L'Kehila Smucha L'Kehila Kedosha Brad. This is a very important area. Those who've learned about the Baal Shem Tov probably know this name of the city. A Kehila called Brad. V'nas Hesham L'Amid L'Hoil. He became a very effective teacher there. V'yimtza Chein V'enai Kulam. He was very much loved by everyone who lived in the city. Vayalamdan Muflag Admod, he's a tremendous teacher. Vayachacham Gadalacha Kol Divra Kihilanis Nechtachim Vinigmar Mapiv. He became such a great leader in this community that almost every decision was being made by him. Vakashe Aya Riv Bain Anashim Vyavo Ilav. Whenever there's an argument, people will come to the Baal Shem Tov. Hayamoti Lor Mishpatim Vishneim Hazaka Vachaib. He'd make a quick decision and both the innocent and guilty party Hayalibam Shalim Imo, which is an amazing thing. That you can walk out of it in Torah. Oftentimes the one guilty will be very upset at the dying. But the Baal Shem Tov was so clear in his judgment that he was able to clearly say who was right, who was wrong, and they both walked out very happy. Kibarov Chachmasa, with his great wisdom, Hayamidaber El Libam, he spoke to the hearts. Shayati Veine Kulam. That was very pleasant to everyone who listened. Vinei harav, harav Gershon Kotever, this is very important, this individual. Hayarosh Bezdin of Kila Kedosh Brad. He was the head of the Bezdin. V'aviv harav Avram Hayalo Din, v'dvarim imechad me'an she'a Kila she'a Habal Shem Tov Sham. So Rav Gershon was the Rav, and his father, Rav Avram, had a Din Torah. So he went to the Bezdin to find out who was right with him and the other Baal Din. And the Baal Shem Tov was there at the time. And Viavo Rav Avram, Avram walks in. And by the way, this turns out to be his father-in-law, to be. V'idaber im Baal Dino, and they're talking out the case for Rav Avram and this other individual. She'yisal sol imo l'kila kadosha brad, they should go to this area brad, ligmor b'neim al pi din Torah. Let's go to brad together, Rav Avram said, to get a proper psak din. The Yom Ha'ish, the individual said, "Hinei Yeshitanu Po Melamid Echad Muflag B'Torah." We have someone here who's a tremendous teacher, Budayin Tzedek. He's a trustworthy judge. Asher b'chol pam shiavo din lefanav. Every time something comes to him, azay shnei tzadim libam shalom imo. Both sides are very satisfied with the psak, even the guilty party. Ki hu masbir hapsak heitav. He explains exactly how he came to his decision. Nevona lefanav. Let's go to this individual. So miad kishabah Rav Avram lefnei Baal Shem Tov. So Baal Shem Tov was the individual that they were talking about. So Rav Avram went to the Baal Shem Tov. Now Rav Ruach HaKodesh. Now the Baal Shem Tov saw with his own Ruach HaKodesh. Shebito hi bas zuga. That the daughter of Rav Avram was going to be his wife. Vinei az haya derech halomdim gdolim. The way it was, and even is nowadays, for learned people. Kishabah lefnei ma'orech areach v'nei hago. And if a proper guest comes to your house or in front of you, omer lefanav pshat. You tell him a pshat. You tell him a dvar Torah. V'yomer Baal Shem Tov lefanav al eze rambam pshat b'charifes gdola. So Baal Shem Tov wanted to impress his future father-in-law. So he told him a very nice chiddush in the Rambam, a very sharp one. V'od Amar lefanav kama pshatim, told him some other pshatim. Achinim shechonav shu'acharav, until the Rav Avram was very much drawn towards the Baal Shem Tov. V'tikashin afshu ben afshu, and they connected. Achar kein sidru ha-balidin tanosem lefanav, then they presented their sides, went to the court case. V'ayav b'neim tainos v'sichsuchim rabim, many back and forths and arguments. After an hour or so, or a moment, Lor Mishpatam Mishpat Emes Lamito, Baal Shem Tov came out with a very clear decision. And the Rabbi Avram was very much amazed by the clarity of the Baal Shem Tov, and he loved him very much. What? They didn't say who won. Hine Ben Kach, between all of this, Nisvada Lo She Baal Shem Tov Panu, he became aware that Baal Shem Tov was single. The Tzarech Lisa Isha, he needed to marry someone, of course. Ularav mi Avram hayelo baskushin, happened that Avram had a single daughter who was divorced. V'yavoi lav b'seiser, so Avram wanted to have a few moments to talk to Baal Shem Tov quietly. And v'yomer la Baal Shem Tov, he says to the Baal Shem Tov, hinei shemati, I heard shemalasa nitzach lisha, that you need a wife. So ulai yichashe beinai beinei malasa, maybe it's going to be pleasant in your eyes. Malasa, he called him a very high person. Lisa is biti, maybe you want to marry my daughter. The Yishev Lo, and he responds back to him, Tov Adavar, it's a very nice idea. And again, Baal Shem Tov already knew this. This was going to be his wife. He said, it's a very nice idea. Many people want me to be here. I have a job right now. I have a responsibility of teaching children. Let's keep this agreement quiet for now. I can't upset them. They do so much wonderful things for me in this community. They lifted me up to a wonderful place. If it's okay with you, says the Baal Shem Tov. Let's write tonight. Let's write an agreement. And lamazel tov yichidus. We'll do it privately in the back room. We'll get a couple of edim and we'll make an agreement of tonight. I also want to make the following condition with you. Shitasu shidduch imi lo imtarasi v'chachmasi. You're making a shidduch with me as a person, but not with my wisdom, not with my Torah. Ki ein ritzoni b'shem ofen shetirbu b'shivchei rov hamalas. I don't want people to be aware of my great qualities. Ki im shetechtevu stam. I want you to write just stam, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Eliezer. Don't write, muflog, gadol b'Torah. Just stam Yisrael, ben Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer. So that was the agreement. That was the tanaim they wrote together. Very simple. Achrei shenik shara nafsha b'nafsha, after these two individuals connected, the future father-in-law and son-in-law made a very strong connection. Hiskim Michal Dvar, they agreed on all the various terms. The Kasu b'mazel tov k'shuei ha-tanayim b'stam, they wrote the tanayim. Lo kasu shem ha-malkum, but they didn't write the area where the tanayim took place. V'lo no da davar l'shem adam, and no one knew about this other than the Baal Shem Tov, his future father-in-law, and I assume two edim. V'hi b'nisiyas harav Ram lebeser, Ram was going back home. And Chal b'derech, on the way home, he became sick as Chal yo asher yamos bo. He ended up dying from a sickness, and he never told his daughter what happened. So v'niftar l'olamo, he was passed away. V'odia davar l'kila kadosha brad. So word made its way over to Brad, where livno harav hagadol Rav Gershon kotever. Rav Gershon, remember, who was the Rav Bezdin in Brad, he heard that his father passed away. V'yavo elaviv laspido kedas. He went back to his father's town. He wanted to eulogize him. The kibel kok savim shematzu tachas yada. They handed him all the various papers and documents that his father had had. And as he was going through them, all the documents, betoch kach matzu atanayim He saw that his father had made Tanaim with Rav Gershon's sister, some random guy whose name is Yisrael ben Eliezer, with no other indicators who he was, where he comes from. He thought it was a bit strange, but he put that in the back of his mind that his sister apparently has some shidduch with some random Rabbi Yisrael. Vila Pella ate Be'enav was a very strange thing to Rabbi Gershon, who was an Abezdim, because Ki Aviv Haya Ish Mefursim. Everyone knew who Rav Avram was. His father, Rav Avram, was a very well-known person in a very prestigious family. So it's a very strange thing, he says to himself. Hayach Yaseh Shidduch Im Nachos Darga. Nachos Darga is a low level. How can my father, Rav Avram, such a prestigious family, marry my sister to some low, not a low life, he didn't know who he was, but some guy who had no stature to him. It didn't make any sense to him. The Gamzos, Imploni Amoni, some random individual, Shlo Noda, Mikomo, Mishpachto, no one knows where he comes from, no one knows where his family is. He thought it was a very strange thing. And when he got home, Visaper Hadavar Lachos, he told his sister that, I've got news for you. There's someone in this world here by the name of Rabbi Yisrael who you're not married to, but you have Tanaim that I've written up. But Tomer, so she says to her brother, Rav Gershom, if it was proper in the eyes of our father, I very much respected our father. I'm not going to think twice about it. And that's what she thought in their mind. And they waited. He didn't want to leave his job early. So he waited until the calendar year was over, the teaching year was over. And viavo el bale habatim viomer, he went to the bale habatim who helped him out in the city where he was teaching. Ani eilech v'yashiv el makomi, I want to go back home now. Thank you for all your help. I'm going to move on to the next stage of my life. Vidabru alibo, they tried convincing him. Shiyirbulo mohar matan, they wanted to pay him a lot of money because they knew how great he was. Shiyehei etzlem od, they wanted him to stay another year. Avalhulo pana elem, he didn't give in. Kilozos kavanaso, he wasn't interested in money. He wasn't trying to make a deal here to get more money here. He really wanted to leave, and so he left. So now when he was living in this city, he was wearing very chashiv clothing. And they didn't have strimals, I don't think, just yet. But whatever he was wearing, a chashiv suit and hat. But now before he left, he was looking for a very echad harekim, one of the empty people, a very simple suit he wanted to put on. I don't know, I think this is Yiddish maybe, but peltzel, maybe you guys can help me out.
Fur.
Okay, very good. And that's next to meal fur, okay, that's what it means. So katzer v'chagoro rachva. So he had some type of a suit that was short and a wide belt. V'yishanes tam of l'shona. He started to change the way he would pronounce things, the way he would speak. He changed his whole mahus to a regular individual. V'yelach l'kila kadosh abroad. He went abroad. L'beis harav Rav Gershon. He wanted to go Rav Gershon to tell him that I want to marry your sister now. V'nei shnei bati dinim yoshin l'fanav. There are two bati dinim sitting in front. And Rav Gershon was overseeing the two Bati Dinim, were overseeing two different cases. Rav Gershon was standing on top as the Av Bezdin. Lion Tamid Bedin, and he was always just making sure everything was going well. How about we have things like that nowadays? Unfortunately, Bati Dinim are not like that anymore. Asher Bam Lefneim. So he was just overseeing all the Bati Dinim. The Yamoreta Pesach. And then he saw the Baal Shem Tov standing by the door. And Vahaya Savor Harav Rav Gershon Shu Ishani. He thought he was an Ani looking for some money. V'ikach pruti, takes out a coin. Brought to Litena, wants to give a pruta to the Baal Shem Tov. V'yomer, he whispers to Rav Gershon, Davar seisi li imachim, I've got a secret I need to share with you. So then, v'yelech imol, Rav Gershon, he went for it, and he went off to the side with the Baal Shem Tov. V'yir lost the Tanaim, the Baal Shem Tov took out of his pocket the Tanaim that he and the father-in-law wrote up to marry Rav Gershon's sister. The Yomru lo, and he said to him, Haba Esishti, please give me my wife. Now it's time for me to get married. So Kasher Ra Harav Hana, when Rav Gershon saw Esha'ish, this individual, Rav Yisrael, the Ksuso, the Diburov, the way he dressed like an Ani, and the way he spoke, Nispamod, he was very taken aback by this. But Nishtomi Amari, he was so enamored by this appearance, he was so struck that this can't be who my sister's going to marry. Mazos also of it. What did my father do? Marry my chashiv sister to such a ani, such a person who dresses and talks like this. The karla chosli calls his sister. Visaprilas koham ora, tells her everything that happened. The tashiv amrilau, and she says to him, Achrei shavinu asazos, if our father did this, Ein lahara achravite. We can't challenge our father. Ubevade ma Hashem yatzazos. It must come from Hashem. It's gamzul tova. Vulai. Maybe we'll be lucky. Yipok minei zara ma'alya. Maybe there's going to be a great son. We'll have a son or grandson who will be fantastic. And I'll at least I'll have a husband. At least there'll be a husband. It'll be a stam yid. But at least maybe our child will be someone who's a great tzaddik. V'yasu kein. They got married. They set a time for the wedding. The kodem achupa, right before they got married, Amar Bal Shem Tov, Shiritzonim Mikodem Ladaber Imishto, Kimaimer Rezal. He wanted to speak to her. So I'm not sure if they didn't meet before that, but apparently they didn't date much. This was the Tanaim, and then they set a time and said, well, I need to see her first before I actually marry her. So fine, they thought that was a good idea. So he spoke to her. The Daber Imishto, he spoke to his wife, Beseser, secretly, the Galila Emes. And he told her who he really was, that he really is a, I don't know what words he said, but he was someone who's not just a Stam Yid. He's a person who knows Nigla, Nister, and he has certain Kochos. And he told this to her, Hey Achu, Ma, how he got such Kochos, what he knows, Hakol Kashel Akol, the Yashbia Osa, he made her swear, Shlo Tigala Mizekal, she is not allowed to tell anyone this secret, who he was. We're going to go through a lot of hard times together, but never ever could you tell anyone who I am until it's the right time. So that was the agreement, and that's how he met his shidduch. You can imagine the relationship he had with his brother-in-law. It wasn't a great one. So let's move on to the next story. We have time for another story here. We need to give out another...
Did he tell his brother-in-law who he was?
Well, together. We're not there yet. So I got a couple more sheets here for this next story. This one I double-sided this one, so you'll be happy. Okay. Pleasure. Feel free to take shalom, guys. Cakes. Fruit. Anyone has? Okay, so as it goes through, I'll start reading a little bit. In Simon Tess here, this is Tkufas Hisbodis. I'm sorry, Yud Beis Gimel, right. So Yud Beis Gimel, thank you. Yud Beis Gimel, Divrei Musar Merav HaKila. So, one second here. Now, in between, I don't think I have the story here, but in between, what happened was he tried learning. Reb Gershon wanted to learn and be Makari with the Baal Shem Tov. So he tried learning with the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov played dumb, but he didn't know anything. Didn't know how to read. And ended up being a tremendous busha for Reb Gershon that he had a brother-in-law who just mamish was not capable of learning and doing anything. And he begged his sister, you know, I can't really, I can't live here in the same place as you guys. Could you do me a favor and leave this community? And so the Baal Shem Tov and his wife left and moved elsewhere. So now one time they would be connected. They'd still visit each other. Reb Gershon would visit his sister. So one time in Rosh Hashanah, look at Simon Yud Beis now. So when they would come, I'm not sure who was coming to who. It could be that I'm assuming the Baal Shem Tov went to visit Reb Gershon. He and his wife went to visit their brother and brother-in-law. So one Tishrei, the Baal Shem Tov came, and Pam Achas B'Chalam Oitzukis. What happened? It was Chalam Oitzukis. Ra Harav Rav Gershon She'enu Menech Tefillin. He saw that the Baal Shem Tov suddenly wasn't wearing tefillin. And now that's a big problem if you're Ashkenaz. The Ramah says you have to wear tefillin Chalam Oit. So, V'darcho Shel Baal Shem Tov Hayal Lispala B'Kosa Mizrach Davka. He was very makbid to daven on the eastern wall. You know, the guys who know Halacha, not we all know Halacha, but people who are really makbid in Halacha will run to try daven by the wall, right in front of the wall. So he started noticing he was doing some interesting things, like maybe he knew a thing or two. But then he was bothered by this, not wearing tefillin, chalam oid, so v'yishalehu, Reb Gershon asked the Baal Shem Tov, Madu eincha maniach tefillin hayom? Why are you not wearing tefillin today? V'yishiv, the Baal Shem Tov answered, Ki reisi b'sifrei taich, I saw in some sefer shekol misha maniach tefillin b'chalam oid chai misa, which he's referring to the Zohar. That Zohar has very stark language about wearing tefillin and chalam oid. So I saw in the Zohar. So Vayiksov Harab Me'odal Zeh, he got very angry at the Baal Shem Tov. Ki umora uba misifrei Ashkenaz v'yuchal yos mizeh miyodeh mashiyeh. This is a dangerous path he's taking here. The guy's learning the Zohar, he doesn't even know Aleph Beis yet. How is he able to get away with wearing tefillin on Chol HaMoed? So now he realized that he had to take him to a place to give him some musr. He decided to go to a Rav to rebuke the Baal Shem Tov for what he did, to stop wearing tefillin. So look what the story continues to tell us. So remember, the Rav Gershon was the Abezdin, so they went to the Rav of the community to give some rebuke to the Baal Shem Tov for, you can't paskin based on the Zohar, you're from Ashkenazi descent, and who you don't know how to learn. So they went to the Rav of the Kila, Shiyomar lo divrei musar, he should give some proper musar to the Baal Shem Tov. He's giving off the impression, the Baal Shem Tov, like the Yari Shemaim, but the guy doesn't know anything about halacha. So Rav that they went to, Haya Ish Tzadik Gadamo, it's a tremendous tzadik, this individual. But he kishabo lebez harav, when they got to the house of the Rav, Nashik Rav Gershon is a mezuzah. Rav Gershon kissed the mezuzah coming in. He placed his hand in the mezuzah. The Baal Shem Tov didn't kiss his hand. He gets so upset. He says, every year walks into a Pesach and kisses the mezuzah. What kind of thing? Baal Shem Tov won't even kiss the mezuzah, but he doesn't wear tefillin like the Zohar. When they went to the Rav's house, his here Baal Shem Tov as a masver. So what does a masver mean? A mask. He wasn't really wearing a mask. But he was able to cover up who he was. But as he walked into the house of this great tzaddik, he removed that spiritual mask. The Ra HaRav or God. Suddenly the Rav saw this great light coming out of the face of the Baal Shem Tov to calm the fun. He stood up. But then the Baal Shem Tov was playing games with him. Then he put the mask back on. Then the Rav sat down because the light went away. He was playing games. This, that. The Rav's up, down. And Rav Gershon is trying to figure out what in the world is going on here. And then, Nisvahel HaRav Me'od Kilo Yadam Ahu Shenidmalo Le'adam Kadosh U'pamishu Adam Pachos. This guy sometimes is a great light, and then he mitzamtin, and then he opens up and mitzamtin, back and forth. He's so confused. Who is this individual, Rav Yisrael, who walked into his office? Rav Gershon tells the Rav that my brother-in-law, he doesn't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed anymore. He doesn't kiss the mezuzah. What's the deal with this guy? So then he took the Baal Shem Tov in privately in the office. Rav Gershon was waiting outside. So he knew something was up with this individual, Rabbi Yisrael. So he says to the Baal Shem Tov, I'm gozer new, you have to tell me what is the emes. What's your deal? Are you Adam Gadol or Adam Pachos? Who are you? And he was forced by this great tzaddik to tell him who he was. But then in turn, the Baal Shem Tov with his koach was gozer back to him and says, I'm decreeing upon you, Shagam hulo yiglo mizeklal. You can't tell anybody what I just told you. Keep it between me and you. So now this is to him still hiding the secrets of who he was. Fine, Vayhi Bom Lachutz, when both the Tzaddik and Baal Shem Tov walked out of the office, Vayomer Rav El Rav Gershon, the Rav says to Rav Gershon, not to worry, I gave him the rebuke that he needed to hear, I let him put him in his place. L'dayti L'yase Davar Chutz L'shita, he doesn't do anything outside of Halach, leave him alone, he's doing a fine thing, but I gave him the Musa he needed to hear. Kihu also L'fitumo, he's going around his life, he's doing fine, just leave him alone. And then, this is the punchline. Then the Rav went to the mezuzah to take a look at the mezuzah. The Yiro saw she psula. They saw that was possible. And that's why Baal Shem Tov didn't kiss the mezuzah. So, should we do one more story? We have a few minutes left. Let's do one more story. I won't give it out, though. There's another Maisa. I'll give it out. I'm not going to read it inside. I'll give it out for you guys to have, but I'm not going to read it together. Next week? Should we do it next week? Go. So as I go through, we'll give it out. This is.
What was he afraid of to let people know who he was?
That's a part of the thing. You have to be with something. You have to hide some things at some times until it's ready to reveal who you are. Wait for the right time. There are two sheets here as well, but I'm going to read this by myself. I'll go through it. That one time Rav Gershon and the Baal Shem Tov was traveling. Where's the line that I wanted here? Is it the right story I copied here? Oh, here we go. It's Tess Zion. So one time Reb Gershon, who still held the Baal Shem Tov as an Am Haaretz, he was trying to convince his sister to divorce the Baal Shem Tov. And she didn't want to, and she didn't want to tell him. And so one time the Baal Shem Tov came to the city, and there was a certain lady who was a meshuga. She was possessed with some type of shade, ruach, dibuk, something in her body, some ruach. And she had this certain koach that she could tell anyone what their good features are and their mitzvahs and the averus that they were doing. She had some koach because it's ruach that was inside of her. And the Baal Shem Tov, rather Reb Gershon, wanted to take the Baal Shem Tov to her. And maybe she could convince him otherwise. So Reb Gershon had asked some other Rav Chassid of Kutav, I don't know who he is, to take Reb Gershon to see this lady. Maybe she could say something about him. So they went to this lady. If you're following inside, again, just explain the next page now. They got to this lady. So first in, the Rav Kutav walks in, and the lady says, Baruch haba kadosh v'tahor, to the Rav, not to the Baal Shem Tov yet. And there are a few people walk in. Then the Baal Shem Tov walks into her, and when she sees him, she says, Baruch haba Rabbi Yisrael. So she knew who he was already. And he was really, really young still at that time, apparently. He didn't die at such an old age, but he was young still. And she says to him, you think I'm scared of you, Rabbi Yisrael? You think I'm scared? I'm not scared. Because I know in Shemayim that they're not going to let you use Shemos Hashem against me. So I'm not scared of you. And this was the Ruach, that spirit, that Dibuk that was inside, that was really speaking to Baal Shem Tov. I'm not scared of you, Rabbi Yisrael. I know you're a special person, but in Shemayim they're not letting you use Shemos Hashem, so you can't do anything to me. And then Rabbi Yisrael was trying to hide, because he didn't want anyone else there to realize what was going on here. But he couldn't hide, and the people who were in the room there at the time were saying, what in the world is going on here? What is she saying to you? They're very confused by this. And she kept on repeating it. And Baal Shem Tov couldn't hide anymore, and he says to her, he started to reprimand her, not her, but really the spirit inside that was speaking, and he says, if you don't stop speaking, I'm going to bring a Bez Din down here from Shemayim, and they're going to allow me to use Shemos Hashem, and then I'll take you out of this woman's body. And then they had this back and forth, and he says, okay, I'll be quiet. So the spirit stopped speaking. And then, so the Hasidim that were there were trying to convince him that they should, they saw what took place. They said to the Baal Shem Tov, now we know you're someone special, maybe you could help this lady out and remove that dibbuk from her. So the Baal Shem Tov says it's a dangerous thing to try to extract the dibbuk from someone, but they didn't give up. And therefore, in the end of the day, he took out this dibbuk. But from this point, the Baal Shem Tov asked the individual here. He told the people to leave the room. And he somehow extracted this dibbuk. I'm trying to find a place here, 1 second here. So in the end, he ended up extracting this dibbuk from the lady's body. But he told everyone there that they cannot reveal who he was. So this is just another episode of his encounter with the ability of his certain kochas that he had was slowly being exposed to people, but he wasn't yet ready to expose who he was until much later. So let's stop here now. Next week we're going to continue. I should point out also, we don't have any writings from the Baal Shem Tov. There is one letter the Baal Shem Tov writes to his brother, Reb Gershon, which never made its way to Reb Gershon. Maybe next week we'll read through that as he begins to expose who he is, and then maybe we'll spend one more week in the Baal Shem Tov of going through some of his great Torahs and the things he's contributed. Okay, so we'll stop here. Shkoyach again for hosting.